Okay, and we're back talking to Cameron Skinner. Now, Cameron, last time we talked to you, you were working on the database edition product. What are you up to now nowadays?
Yeah, so now I'm running the architecture edition product. I'm kind of seeing how many of these team system SKUs I can start to run here.
Nice.
So we jumped over to the architecture edition product last November, and have been running that ever since. Had a blast shipping DataDude, the first version of that. But then this opportunity came up and had to jump on it.
Okay, great. So what's new for Team Architect?
Yeah, lots of stuff. I can start with the fact that, you know, we've joined the OMG to help further along the whole UML standard. That was part of an initiative that started with the kind of the new path that we're on, and I'll jump into that in a second. But we've basically started to focus on what does it mean to bring modeling, make it more salient to more a wider breadth of folks. So, okay. You know, how do we get it into the hands of developers and have those developers actually start to use it in a more day-to-day instead of a more upfront workload that we see, you know, pretty prevalent out there. We're taking a number of different approaches. We're taking a bottoms-up and a top-down approach. You know, we're incorporating those UML diagrams to support more of the top-down, the kind of like the classic approach to mm-hmm. modeling that you see out there. But we are also doing something a little bit different in that regard, in that we want to be able to connect those UML diagrams with some more of these bottom-up diagrams, and specifically around our DSL tooling that is prevalent in the VS SDK.
Okay.
In fact, those UML diagrams that we're building are built on top of that, the DSL toolkit. So it's a key piece of our strategy moving forward is, as people start to continue to leverage the DSL toolkit to create DSLs for their, you know, their specific domain, mm-hmm. that we can actually leverage and share that metadata across different diagrams, and more specifically accrue up to the enterprise class tool that we're going to ship as part of the architecture edition product. So that's, you know, pretty integral to what we're doing. So we want to find the right tool for the right job in many ways, find where the integration between some of these classic UML diagrams fit with some more very specific DSLs that we also want to include in the box, and find where that, you know, where that sweet spot is.
Okay, so I've heard you say UML about 5 or 6 times already.
Yeah.
But UML was really not existent in the first wave of Visual Studio Team System, Team Architect deliverables. Why the change of heart there?
True. So this comes back to the how do we get the modeling more used by a broader range of folks, specifically developers throughout the product. In the first version of the Architecture Edition, it was very focused on the distributed app nature of preparing your application for distribution, and we just wanted to push it more upstream on where these models could be leveraged.
Okay.
So we really started to focus on what do we need to bring to the table so that folks can understand their architecture, be it a greenfield project mm-hmm. or one that already exists. And that's really where we're focusing a lot of our energy on, is how do we get some tooling, how do we provide tooling that helps you understand your legacy app? And really, when I say legacy, I really do mean code you wrote yesterday.
Right, or you inherited yesterday.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep. And you're coming into code that you've never seen before, mm-hmm. or even on the same team, a lot of times teams will tend to, you know, load balance their developers, et cetera, and say, hey, listen, you know, Bob over here, it doesn't have time to jump in here. Can you help out with some of his workload?
Yep.
And boom, you're right into a bunch of code you really don't understand. So how do you get your head around, okay, if I make this change, you know, what is that gonna do? It's the butterfly flaps wings here, hurricane over here, you know, situation.
Yeah.
How do we prevent that? How do we give you some tooling that allows you to look at that code base, understand how coupled it is with the rest of your code base, mm-hmm. understand, you know, do you have tests that are covering this particular code? These sorts of things. Now, some of these things, this is a very stair-step approach. It's a very iterative approach that we're taking to this. So, you know, we're making this initial investments in this area. We're not going to get it all done in one release, clearly, but we're making a good way down the road on this one.
Okay. So I know some guys on your team are going to give us some demonstrations of the top-down approach and the bottoms-up.
Yeah.
But conceptually, can you kind of take us through how those approaches differ?
Yeah. So, you know, this is really depends on your particular organization and how you decide to use modeling tools. I think a significant value add of this particular product is that we don't require you to use the tool in any particular way. Now, that could be a strength and it could be a weakness, actually, because, mm-hmm. you know, some folks are actually looking for, how do I do this? You know, just give me some guidance and walk me through some steps. But other folks are like, look, we've already been using certain process in our particular organization. We know how these tools can be fitted in there, et cetera. So we need to be able to support those various and different environments. But specifically, you know, you can think of the top down where you get the classic kind of, I get my requirements, I need to break those requirements down into stories. So maybe I use a use case diagram. Mm-hmm. I then further need to take that use case diagram and realize that maybe via activity diagrams or sequence diagrams, higher level sequence diagrams, that kind of thing. Break those down. Now I want to go start to build up my glossary, so to speak, of my problem domain. So I'm going to start to use, like, say, a UML class diagram to try to understand what are my nouns in my system, mm-hmm. That kind of thing. So you start to break it down that way. You know, also want to support more of the, all right, how do I start to think of my architecture at a higher level and start to think about constraints that I want to keep validated, and I want to be able to verify those constraints. So now we're going from the top level, and now we're starting to bleed now into the more of the bottoms up. Specifically, there's a layer diagram, which is not a UML diagram. It's more of a specific DSL. That layer diagram, though, could be used top down to describe the logical kind of conceptual understanding of what your architecture is. You've seen this, you've probably seen this 100 times every time you walk into a team room. And you've got the block diagram up there that shows you, yeah, this is my UI layer, this is my business layer, this is my data layer, and here's the dependencies, etc. You know, real simple. This is a diagram meant exactly for that. So you can kind of build up your problem domain, break down your requirements, etc. Start reasoning over what should my architecture look like, etc. You could draw that logically. But then where we start to bridge that gap now, getting more of the bottoms up, being able to support it, is to be able to say, on an existing app, mm-hmm. I think I know what my architecture looks like, but now let me take my existing app and kind of map it onto that diagram. So I'm kind of mapping my physical assets onto that, what I believe my architecture is described at the high level. And now we give you the tooling that says, verify that, validate that. If you said that you've got a user interface, your UI layer here, and that UI layer should only talk to that business layer, and that business layer should only talk to the data layer, and what you're explicitly or implicitly saying is that the UI layer should never talk directly to the UI the data layer.
Right.
Let's verify that.
Yep.
And we want to verify that all the time. So we want to be able to get that as like a check-in policy, for instance. We need to get that as part of your build so that, you know, we make architectural validation part of your build, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Now, as we go lower into the, you know, what we mean by bottoms up, give you the ability to look at a particular method. You know, we were talking about, boy, how do I get my head around what this thing is doing? Generate a sequence diagram right from the method. So literally right-click in the method, generate a sequence diagram, bang. You can now start to see it's a perfect application for a diagram where now you can start to see how these many objects are kind of orchestrated, how they're right. talking to each other.
So you mean that your tools will reverse engineer for me, reflect against the code, and then build these diagrams for me automatically?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. And, you know, the idea there is it's an interesting problem because, you know, best practices when you're going about coding, a lot of times, you know, folks will, you want to break functions down, mm-hmm. for instance. Like, you know, the days of the 50-page one function, you know, I hope are coming to an end,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you want to start to be able to refactor that and to use the extract method and break those things down to smaller bite-sized methods. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is that sometimes when you're now going in there as a developer and you're looking at that code, you can now easily grok the code that you're looking at, because it's a five-line function, let's say. Mm-hmm. But now what's become more difficult is to understand how that one function is playing in this grander scheme of all these objects that are interacting. So in the big 50-page do-it method, you maybe have one object there. Yeah. Well, now if you actually use best practices to break that down and use, you know, single responsibility principle, for instance, and say, you know, this one object does this one thing mm-hmm. really well. Mm-hmm. So in many ways, it's stupid. It knows one thing and one thing only. Mm-hmm. You know, it knows that one thing really well and knows nothing else. You'll tend to get a lot of them. And so when you know, you'll have that one piece of that one chunk of code calls into this one thing, and this other, now you've got this complicated, actually, a fairly complicated graph of calls and returns.
Yep. So how do your tools scale then? I mean, can you have 1,000 classes in your tools?
Yeah. So, you know, we're constantly tweaking this, of course, but yep. we're also giving you the ability to filter what you see. Mm-hmm. So, you know, let's say I don't want to see anything go into the system namespace, or, you know, I don't want to see the fact that I'm doing stuff with string, let's say. It's just not interesting to me. I really want to focus in on the interactions between my domain objects, mm-hmm. let's say. We give you the ability to filter that out. I only want to go, let's say, three calls deep. You know, so we give you a lot of ability to filter the information that's coming back at you.
Right. And so if I've built my own DSLs, will that just fit into your tool set now then?
Yeah, so that's exactly why we're building everything on the DSL toolkit. Okay. and actually pushing a number of technologies back into the toolkit so we can make sure that the data that's being leveraged there, and we've got more work to do here. We're not done yet, but the idea is, yeah, that data that should be able to be shared and consumed across these models, even models that you hadn't anticipated building mm-hmm. or anticipated sharing with, the idea is, hey, we can pull it in into a what we call this backplane and be able to share that data.
Okay.
That's the idea. Now, we've got to work out a lot of the details.
Right.
But the fact that we're building on top of that common infrastructure, that DSL runtime, and we author through there, I really am optimistic that we're going to be able to realize that investment.
Okay. Now, getting back to UML, what version of UML is
yeah,
this
so
you're talking about?
This is 2.1.1, and I should call out the fact that, you know, to fully do UML per that spec, there's something like 13 diagrams.
Okay.
We're not going to ship all 13 in this initial version. We're going to ship 5.
Okay.
We're going to ship use case diagram, the component diagram, activity, class, and what did I not say?
Sequence.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you. Yeah.
And so how does what you're doing in Team Architect, which ships as part of Visual Studio Team System 2010,
yep.
how does that relate to what people may have heard about Oslo?
Yeah. So this is a big, the interesting thing, this is a great time to be doing these modeling tools, because right now there's a very big push from Microsoft, an overarching modeling initiative that's going out there, that's being pushed out there. We've talked about this more broadly in terms of the Oslo modeling initiative. And mm-hmm. basically, you can think of this as a number of investments in the modeling space that Microsoft is currently embarking upon. Okay, so team architecture, or the architecture edition, the team architect, how we refer to our team, is one of those investments. You're seeing those investments in a number of other areas as well. The CSD team building Oslo technologies. We're going to start to really focus in on what it means to share models. And I should stop and say what a model is in this grand realm of things. And, mm-hmm. and a model, we have to think beyond the visual model as a model. We have to start thinking as a model being represented textually.
Okay.
You know, and so when we start talking about this overarching kind of modeling initiative, we are talking about how do we represent our platform investments in a model, in various models. How do we connect them? How do we build viewers over that so we can, you know, manipulate those models mm-hmm. In a more integrated fashion? So you're going to start seeing these technologies start to come together to paint that vision. Architecture Edition is one of the first, you know, kind of the first wave of this initiative. but you're going to start seeing many more technologies coming out.
Okay.
This.
Exciting stuff. So one final question. What does this mean for Visio then? I know Visio supported, what was it, UML 1.4?
Yeah, 1.1, right? I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of people think, hey, Visio, that's not a modeling tool. It's a drawing tool, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? If you are really hardcore about modeling, yeah, you can't hang too much metadata there. It is, you are drawing with it. But the fact is, Visio is probably the most used UML modeling tool on the planet. And so we will absolutely be able to import UML 1.1 templates into our product and be able to then convert them so that you can now hang a bunch of metadata on there.
Oh, cool.
But this really comes down to I think Forrester is calling, you know, there's three archetypes in the modeling realm. You know, you can think of lightweight modeling tools, which I would put Visio in that category. You've got model-assisted modeling tools, and you've got model-driven modeling tools. And we're going to be Microsoft all up, back to that, like the Oslo question, we're going to have modeling tools that span the gamut of those archetypes. So you see Visio in the lightweight visual modeling tools. You see the model-assisted, which is, honestly, I'd put the architecture edition more in the model-assisted category or archetype. And then the model-driven is where a lot of the Oslo technologies are going to be focusing on. And then how do we connect all three so that you can basically, as a user, coming back to that comment I made about not forcing any one thing on our customers, use whatever's, you know, feels right for your organization. Use whatever makes sense. You know, some orgs are really passionate about using modeling tools to drive most of their development. Some folks are not.
Right.
You know. Use the best tool for your org.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, thanks for taking the time, and we'll let you get back to shipping the product.
Absolutely. Thanks,
Cameron.